just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
You'll lead the way.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say.
But this life
this
you
life
gave.
Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. I am Pastor E.L. Willard. Shepherd's House Ministry, we're located at 795 Blanding Boulevard in Orange Park, Florida. Our number is 904-294-4149. Please feel free to give us a call. If you are blessed by this broadcast, we'd like to hear from you. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 12. I want to share some thoughts with you, and hopefully there'll be some words here that will be of encouragement to you. Jeremiah is a prophet, was the last prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. And in this passage of scripture, we find that Jeremiah is actually complaining about some of the inequities of life. And he starts in verse 1, chapter 12, he says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yet they bring forth fruit. Thou art near to their mouth, but far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, and thou hast seen me, and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them down like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of the slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of the very field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they say, he shall not see our last end." Verse 5, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how would thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even thy brethren, the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee, and believe them not, though they speak fair words." As I said, Jeremiah was a prophet to, actually the last prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. And he got to the place where he, like so many of us today, got discouraged because the Bible lets us know that Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He lamented over the over Judah because of disobedience, because they would not adhere to the prophecies that he had made toward them, or and that God spoke through him and spoke to them through him. And so here he is complaining, because he's seen all of the inequities of life. And he starts out by saying, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." He said, "When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." And then he says, "Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper?" Many of us often look at the fact that the wicked are prospering, and we're wondering sometimes, why is this? Why this seems to be a disconnect when, as it pertains to how God is seeing the wicked prospering, and sometimes it seems like we are suffering while they are prospering. While they're, we attend church on a regular basis, we tithe, we give to the Lord, we witness, we do all of these things, and it seems like the wicked are getting the blessings that seem like that we should be getting. This is what Jeremiah was noticing, and you got to be very careful about how you look at things that you really have no control over. The only thing that you have control over is you. The only thing that you have control over is yourself. And so Jeremiah says, and he starts out with these nice words, "Righteous art thou, Lord. But when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are the happy that deal treacherously?" And here's what he says. Thou hast planted. He said, you planted them. And not only have you planted them, but God, they're taking root. And not only have they taken root, but they're growing. And not only growing, but they're bringing forth fruit. In other words, they have other people just like them. And you're near to their mouth, but you're far from their reins. In other words, they're saying things like, God is good to me, and I thank God for this, I thank God for that. But their lifestyle, the way they live, does not reflect the rhetoric that comes from their mouth. But when after he says all of that, he says, okay, now, yeah, I pointed them out. You see how they are. You see what they're all about. But verse 3 says, but thou knowest me. But thou knowest me. And you've seen me. And you tried my heart toward thee. So here's what I want you to do. Since you know them and you know me, I've got the solution. And I don't want them to get by with what it is that they're doing. So here's what I want you to do, God. I want you to pull them down. I want you to pull them down like sheep for the slaughter. And I want you to prepare them for the day of the slaughter. After all, he's saying, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs and of the field wither and the wickedness of them that dwell therein? And he says, the beasts are consumed and the birds because they see that he shall not see our last end. In other words, they're mocking you. They're basically saying that we don't have to worry about you. And any type of retribution, because the thing is that you're going to let this thing go and let this thing go unnoticed. And I'm thinking about the scripture that says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to get back what it is that you put out. When it says God is not mocked, that means that God will not let your sins and your disobedience and all of that go unnoticed. He's going to the retribution. It comes from God. And so after Jeremiah does all of these this complaining, he is from God. And now God says to him, if thou hast run to Jeremiah, verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have worried thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace when thou trustest, they worry thee, then what shall I do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, you look at the Jordan River. The Jordan River runs north and south. At the north of the Jordan River is the Sea of Galilee, which is fresh water that has an outlet. At the south of the Jordan River is the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, where it dumps into the Dead Sea, and then the Dead Sea has no outlet. And the reason called the Dead Sea because it's so full of salt that nothing could live in there, not even fish. And so, so he's basically using this metaphorically and saying that if in the land of peace wherein you trust, they have worried thee, what are you going to do when the Jordan overflows, when the Jordan swells over? Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go towards the Sea of Galilee or are you going to go towards the sea or the Salt Sea? Which direction are you going to go? Sometimes we find ourselves taking the path that leads to destruction rather than the path that leads to life. And the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we got to understand how important it is for us to know which direction that we need to go in. We need to go into the way that leads to life and that leads to prosperity. And don't allow yourself to spend so much time complaining and talking about people that are that seem to be prospering, because there's an end to that. There's a time at which they're going to see that God is going to hold them responsible and accountable for the way that they're living. I think about in the book of Psalms where the Asaph actually similar to what Jeremiah is doing. He's complaining. And if you go to Psalm 73, you see where Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel, even if such are as a clean heart. But he said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious and foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, the people returned hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they cease or they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for the day, all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. So if I was to speak unto the, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of the children. And here's what he says in verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them on slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. In other words, there's a point at which people are going to find themselves that are wicked, that are doing ungodly things. There's a time at which all of this is going to be over. And we've got to understand that God will not let what they're doing go unnoticed, and he's going to give them what it is that they rightfully deserve. And we don't have to allow ourselves to get so intensely concerned about things that, as I said before, that we have no control of. We don't have a control over what other people do. The only control you have over is what you do and how you handle situations and how you obey God and how you listen to the commands and the voice of God. When Asaph says that when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. It was then that I understood therein. And surely you set them on slippery places. There's a point at which you're going to, people are going to find themselves getting the just recompense for the things that they have done and the things that they're involved in, the things that they're doing. God will not let sin go unpunished. He will not allow people to continue. Sometimes we look at people and we say, you know, why is God allowing this? Why is God continuing to let people prosper like this? Well, you know, all prosperity doesn't come from God. And let me tell you something. The devil has power. Now, he doesn't have all power, but he has power to cause people to prosper in certain things. But there's a way, the Bible says, that seems right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We've got to understand that there's a time at which we're going to have to give an account. We've got to answer to the ways that we have lived and the things that we have done and what we've done either for the Lord or not. We need to know that God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful to us, and he wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us to know that we can trust and depend on him and give him. We need to give him our attention, and don't give our attention to things, as I said, that we have no control of. You don't have any control over what people do and how they live and how they act or anything like that. The only control that you have over is you. And you need to learn how to trust in the Lord. The Bible says that you should trust in the Lord with all of your heart, to lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he, God, will direct your path. He'll give direction for your life. And we got to understand that the devil is trying to do everything. He's a thief. He's a thief that comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, don't worry about that, because I'm come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus comes to give life while the devil's trying to take your life. He wants to discredit you. He wants to treat you as though you're nothing. He wants to treat you like you have no future. He doesn't want you to have a future. But God says you will have a future. And God will bless you, and he'll give you even the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in him. You need to hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. For God is faithful to every promise that he's made. He'll give you those things that you have need of so that you can do the things that God has called you to do. I want to thank you so much for tuning into this broadcast. I am Pastor E.L. Woolard, Shepherd's House Ministry. We're located at 795 Blanding Boulevard in Orange Park, Florida. If this message has been a blessing to you, I trust that you will give us a call at 904-294-4149, 294-4149. We are located at 795 Blanding Boulevard in Orange Park, Florida. Shepherd's House Ministry, Pastor E.L. Woolard. God bless you until our next broadcast.
And there is peace when I say yes. I might not see it now, but you say the best for all who trust you. Just say yes, yes.